I'm Craig Slate.
And I'm Ed Vertod.
And you're listening to
The Fresh Cred.
We're back now, and we have a new guest joining us, Nelia Alamo from Marcon. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Like I say, this show, we were talking a little bit about this earlier, but show's still super busy down there. It's super active and lots of people.
There is a lot of traffic today. There's a lot of good energy and a lot of people attending. So it's been a great show.
We've said it before, but I'm sure it's worth mentioning. I think the single day trade shows, I mean, it forces folks to kind of amp it up. And, you know, you have that compressed time frame. You use your time wisely. There's not a lot of messing around. Boom, boom, boom.
I like the 10 by 10 format, too. Everybody's on the same kind of playing field to smaller, you know, some of the bigger shows with big, massive booths. There's just a lot of money and spent.
And this was the original? This was the original?
I've seen some of those massive booths.
Containers.
With, like, rooftop meeting spaces and couches and that. Those are kind of fun, though.
Yeah, those are fun.
Those were the days.
But, yeah, no, I'm with you. Like I say, you and I were talking this 42 years, which is amazing to me. It's been going 42 years,
wow.
The show. Yeah. And, yeah, I used to come back to some of the earlier day shows. I wasn't back 42 years ago. I'm not that far off. But, yeah, it's been always a favorite for me just because of the size.
Yeah.
You get a chance. Like I said, it's a relaxed atmosphere. Yeah. And it's Monterey.
It's Monterey. Are
you born and raised California?
Born and raised in California, yep. Southern California. Ventura County is where I was born and raised, and then went to college in San Luis Obispo, which is...
not too far away.
Not too far away. And
just far enough.
Another bad spot to have to reside.
Oh, my God.
Well, and then...
The sweltering 70-degree days, just...
Yeah, 2 days ago in Salinas, everywhere you went, people were complaining. They're like, this heat wave. And I'm like, it's 76 degrees outside. I live in the San Joaquin Valley where it's been, you know, 110.
It gets above 76 there.
It does.
Yeah.
Like,
even then, it's not that hot, you know. I mean, I live in South Texas, so...
Okay.
I stopped in Burbank on the way to this previous show 2 weeks ago, the organic show. And I was on the phone with my wife, and, you know, they make you get out of the plane at the Burbank Airport and onto the tarmac. And I was like, it's hot, but I could probably roll around on the asphalt, and it really wouldn't bother me. I mean, it's not stupid hot, like home. But anyway, I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's okay.
So, slow?
San Luis Obispo, Cal Poly, yep, proud Cal Poly alumni. Still very active with the university on the Ag Business Advisory Council, and now I live in the San Joaquin Valley. At college, I met a dairy farmer from Turlock, California. And so that's why I told my kids, don't drink too much in college. You'll end
up in the valley. Probably the same advice Tanya would probably be giving. Kids, you'd be stuck with this guy.
That's too funny.
But that's awesome. So right in the middle. Yeah, I was going to ask, you know, in the business, you're with Marcon.
I'm with Marcon, but I've been in the produce business industry for over 25 years now. So I started at Gill's Onions.
Mm-hmm.
I was at Gill's for 18 years in sales and marketing, and great opportunity, you know, family business, vertically integrated, single commodity. I did that. And then I went to Renaissance Food Group, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of Calavo, and in a marketing role. But then their, you know, processors, fresh value-added produce, and went from single commodity grower shipper to publicly traded company doing every produce item you can think of, mostly for retail. And yeah, was there.
But that was eye-opening.
It was very eye-opening. was there for 8 years, and then I just started with Marcon, now a co-op. So three different business models, if you will, and been here for 5 months now, almost 6 months. So.
Yeah. And loving every minute of it.
I do love it. Yeah, it's great.
Well, I told you earlier, you've got to go back and watch the interview with Andy. So that was, he's quite the card. So you've got Mr. Funny Man there.
Andy is, well, one, he's great to work for and with, but yeah, he's got a great personality, and he's a lot of fun. He brings a great energy, I think, to the whole Marcon team.
So yeah, so what are you doing with Marcon?
I am the VP of marketing for Marcon.
You're on the marketing side,
Yep. So
we talked with Steve Gill earlier today, so he was one of our earlier interviews. So getting all around the horn of everybody, you know. So was your family always in produce?
Yes. So Steve's my dad.
That's what I thought. So. And so that's that. Therein lies the connection.
Yes.
Right. And so you were destined to be in the produce business.
I didn't think I wanted anything to do with produce or agriculture. And then again, went to college and fell in love with it. And when, you know, early on, when I was still in college, I started, my dad started taking me to trade shows. And so really got, fell in love with
you
the business.
You just thought
fell in
like the whole year was going to be trade shows. Yeah. You're like, oh man, let's go to trade shows every week.
Good, good times.
We'll eat good food, hang out, have fun.
Have a few drinks.
If only. Although, I don't know, I think you've tried to do that before, right? You've
What's
had
that?
Some years where you try to do a trade show every week.
Yeah. I've had some. No. My life is a trade show.
Your life's a trade show and a podcast.
Yeah, a trade show and a podcast. So, yeah, so family, business. Now, any of your, you know, you get brothers and sisters?
I've got two sisters.
Okay.
My younger sister's not in the produce business anymore, but my older sister's a consultant. She's got her own firm, a sustainability consulting agency, and so she works in the Salinas Valley with a lot of grower shippers and helping them with their sustainability efforts. So she's been really successful at that and really grown the business. So, yeah, so she... It's fun to have her.
Have her in it, yeah. I mean, it's so, and you got kids?
I've got kids. They're both at Cal Poly.
Okay.
I'm an empty nester, so it's a pretty good time. My husband, as soon as the kids went off to college, we threw an empty nester rager at our house.
Oh my goodness, a rager. I love it.
Hey, did the cops come? Because if the cops didn't come, it's not a rager.
Well, we were out in the country, so it really is going to take a lot to have the cops come. But
yeah, well, when that happens in Texas, we're blowing up Tannerite at midnight, and then somebody will come eventually.
Eventually and get you, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So dairy farming.
Yes.
So that's an early morning business, right?
It's a 24 hours a day business. It's not just early mornings. It's
early.
Late nights and 7 days a week. So yeah, we still have the dairy farm, and we also farm almonds and some other feed crops for the cattle.
Nice.
So yeah. So agriculture is kind of the constant theme throughout everything we do. It's from dairy, almonds, to produce, and yeah.
But you think your kids are going to stay in the space?
My son is going to, he's got one more year of college. He's actually in Texas this summer. He has an internship working for a large dairy, and I think he'd eventually like to come back to the family business. So.
Whereabouts in Texas?
Great.
Delhart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know exactly where Delhart is.
Hartley, yeah.
Panhandle.
Not there, Panhandle. We just went to visit. There's not much up there.
I was going to say, you
there's
know,
some potatoes up there.
Okay, yeah.
He's probably not going to fall in love with that part of Texas.
No.
Yeah.
No, I think he's ready to come back to California. So. Yeah. But,
I love Texas, and I'd have a hard time staying there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just because it's so different. I mean, it's, hell, everywhere I've lived, I grew up in Gilroy. And my family's from Texas, and I've spent time in Arizona. I've lived in Las Vegas. I mean, everywhere has its benefit, right? You learn to appreciate everywhere you're at.
Yeah.
There's something about it. South Texas, I thought it was going to be a short term. It's been 20 years that I've lived in the valley, in McAllen, the Rio Grande Valley, River Valley.
Mm-hmm.
So everywhere has something.
Yeah.
Hopefully he'll get his experience.
He's getting
it. Come home.
Yep.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So. Go by the 666 Ranch if you watch Yellowstone.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
So hopefully, yes, hopefully no one takes him to the train station as well.
So I got a shirt for my birthday. It's just a little bit small. I gave it to my 14-year-old daughter who has not watched Yellowstone and won't be watching Yellowstone, at least not with my blessing. And it says, take him to the train station. So I gave her the shirt and I hadn't explained to her what it meant. So it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
So, and you know, now that you're over at Marcon, restaurant world, you know, primary focus, I mean, that's food service, what you guys do. You know, how are you seeing things in that? Now, I know you've only been there 5 months, so maybe it's a little early, but I mean, how is the feel right now in the restaurant space? I mean, we're here at the food service show, obviously focused on that. I mean,
yeah, I mean, the restaurant, obviously, space and food service industry has had some tough years. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I come back to Marcon, things have rebounded a lot. And I feel like, you know, even at the Marcon office, there's still a little post-traumatic stress syndrome of what everybody went through. And, you know, during the pandemic, I was at Calavo Renaissance Food Group, and we did a lot of retail products, and so didn't have, you know, the pain of the food service industry. And so, yeah, we see things coming back and in a really positive way. And our members, distributors, are thriving and growing. And so there's, I think, a lot of opportunity.
In the food service space, I mean, obviously onions. I mean, there's certain fresh produce, but really a lot of stuff that we wind up cooking at home. You know, I've got to believe kale really got caught traction in the restaurant space, right?
Yeah. We're seeing a lot of trends too. You know, at Marcon, we've got several. We pack in our own brand, the Marcon brand. And we do, you know, we've got what we call our Ready, Set, Serve line, which is our value-added line. And again, since restaurants, we're seeing, you know, business come back, but there's still the labor issue. And so value-added products are really growing and taking off, and seeing that like a big opportunity because, you know, they want fresh produce on their menus, but they're like I said, struggling to get the consistent labor to show up. So we're seeing that kind of piece of the business, that category, continue to grow.
So value added within food service. I actually hadn't even thought about that application.
Yeah.
Like, I only think about value added in retail, but
yeah, no,
that's interesting.
It's huge. It's huge. And like I said, and it's a really growing, it's a trend that we're seeing that isn't going away. It's just getting bigger. So we're constantly looking for new innovation we can bring to our membership that, you know, highlights that the value added piece of it. And, you know, there's a convenience factor. It helps with labor, but it's also kind of a sustainability story because, mm-hmm. you know, you're sending in 100% usable product versus, you know, whole broccoli that they're chopping and then having to get rid of the waste. So, yeah, it's a great option.
And your members are doing the processing there, or
no? At Marcon, we're a cooperative, so we're owned by 5-member distributors, and then we work with supplier partners. So we work with, you know, a lot of different grower, shipper, processors to bring that product. We're the procurement arm, so we'll, you know, again, have to work with the right suppliers, get them to pass our food safety standards, mm-hmm. and then, you know, build a program to put them into our brand, and then we sell that out to our membership. So they're just the distributor.
Okay. All right. So, and then, but trend-wise, what I was getting, as you see, you talk about value added, but food-wise, what's the next hot thing coming down that you can see, at least through the restaurant space?
In the restaurant space, I think that, you know, produce is taking the center of the plate. It's kind of, you know, where traditional proteins in the past, produce, there's so much innovation around flavor profiles, and you're seeing that produce is becoming more
mainstream center of the plate.
Food as medicine is kind of a trend that's not going away.
Right.
And so I think that, you know, it adds so much to a menu. And with, you know, again, innovation around seed varieties, and you're seeing a lot of a lot more variety within the produce space, and so looking for how they can use produce and really highlight that.
Yeah, that's encouraging, you know. So Ed and I, we've talked about part of how we got started in this whole podcast thing was kind of like a health journey or whatever, and trying to get on a path and you know, being in this business, right, you know, kind of spread that message, bring people on, because it is encouraging to see consumers really, like you say, moving vegetables to the center plate, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and doing it on their own, with their own intent, right? It's not like
intentional.
You know,
yeah. I mean, and especially younger people, and not because it's trendy, but because they've been either educated or, you know, brought up. So I think about my kids and how I ate growing up, and nothing against my family, my parents. I mean, we ate dinner at home every day, but it was, you know, primarily Mexican food. I mean, it was all, you know, flour and fried and all that good stuff. Everything that, you know.
The same way for me.
That we love, but, you know, and then, you know, we raised our kids and, you know, they ask for stuff that I think, man, I would have never asked for that. You know, whether it's eggplant or broccoli or cauliflower, I mean, they can eat it every day.
Yeah.
And that's awesome, right? So just that alone, that what I would call organic growth, just from education over, you know, over the years or through osmosis or by association or whatever you want to call it.
Well, and I think, too, part of that is with social media that, you know, there's TikToks and all these videos that are showing you how to make something or how you would cook a Brussels sprout and showing different applications and videos that are short and quick. And so it's kind of inspiring a lot of people to try things that they might not try because it seems, you know, it's right there at their fingertips and they can...
She just made me think of me trying to juice a beet without cooking it. I almost broke the juicer.
What? Oh, my gosh.
Thinking about education, like, you need to know these things. But you also made me think of, I don't know if I told you, last weekend the family just had to have Olive Garden. So, look, I've had pizza this week. I'm no saint. I was trying to stay away from pasta. So I didn't realize they'll substitute pasta with broccoli. And so I had fettuccine Alfredo. Instead of the fettuccine, it was... Broccoli Alfredo on the sauce. Yeah, broccoli Alfredo.
That's definitely a better choice.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Alfredo.
Highly recommend it.
See, and there's the how produce is becoming center of the plate. Mm-hmm. That's a great example of...
Well, I try.
There you go. You freaking got a point. So are you familiar with watercress?
Yes.
So we had Todd Gosselin earlier today, B&W, and I'm now in a movement to make the watercress the next great... Make watercress great again.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Is that going to be free of charge?
Or pardon me?
I mean, are you going to, because that's a big deal. Like, if you do make that the biggest, you know, growth commodity, you going to monetize that somehow? Or are you just going to do it for out of the goodness of your own heart?
I've already talked to Todd. I'm going to start selling for them. So I'm
going to
take some accounts. Yeah. But I mean, so through the restaurants, though, a lot of watercress, you guys do a lot?
Not a lot of watercress, no. You know, the staples of the food service industry, I think, in produce is potatoes, tomatoes, lettuce, onions. Those are kind of the big heavy movers that kind of go through distribution, but I mean, we do everything. So we do handle watercress. I don't see it as
it's the number one nutrition. It's the most nutritional vegetable.
Nutritionally dense, he said, the most nutritionally dense leaf.
I just heard it's the most nutritious
leaf veg.
Yeah, it's the way to go. Well, I think he basically said it's the most nutritional vegetable, period. Maybe produce, period. I don't know.
Pretty high up there.
Yeah, some big claims, you know. But it is, so I didn't even know all that.
I've
never cooked with watercress. Todd's not here. I didn't tell him that.
Okay.
Yeah,
well.
So,
he said it's your favorite when he was here.
Well, you know, I did not say it was my favorite.
What do you lie to me about?
Don't ask. You don't want to know.
As soon as you leave the room.
Yeah, for sure.
That's
for
right.
Sure. No, but and again, the restaurants and going out, labor seems like the biggest challenge, right, in that space. I mean, it's really holding back potentially growth.
Yeah, and we're seeing, too, you know, what we're hearing from our membership and how they're going to restaurants to sell. So, you know, we sell to our member distributors, and they're working with the individual operators, and, you know, they're... I think traditionally where they might have an executive chef that they're working with on their menu and things, that the skill set, there's kind of line cooks and there's people that have been moved into positions that, you know, I think the opportunity with our sales reps is to go out and really educate them on produce and bring value and really help hold their hand and show them how they should be, you know, buying the right produce for their menu to help, you know, costs, how to execute. You know, if they're bringing in avocados, you don't need a number one avocado if you're just making guacamole and you're smashing it in the back. So,
right.
You know, it's just those kinds of things. It's the value that they're trying to do really to help educate, you know, the operators.
Yeah, so, and that's interesting. You talk about the avocado and in that space. I mean, so do sometimes, like, because you got to think most of it's getting cut or prepped or cooked or something, right? I mean, very few of it's, do they still hold you, do they still want the appearance to look a certain way?
Well, they do. I mean, again, it depends on the application. I think if they're like just having a sliced avocado on something, you know, they want maybe a different size versus if they're just smashing it into a guacamole.
Right.
So, you know, we've got customers that want, you know, a variety of quality aspects. So it kind of depends. And that's the part where we can be the valuable resource to work with the individual operators, our members working with the individual operators to see exactly how they're applying the produce to make sure they're buying the quality that they need for the application. Hmm. So like if they're doing baked potato, whole baked potatoes, mm-hmm. they might want a really premium number one mm-hmm. potato. But if they're mashing it, making yeah. mashed potatoes, then
they can cut some costs.
They don't, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, well, you know, the baked potato thing, you know, I kind of wish they wouldn't. I mean, I love baked potatoes. Love that. And love to go get, but yeah, some of those stinking potatoes they're just
massive.
Massive. They can dial it back a little bit
yeah.
for me.
The four potato tray pack, the steak potatoes.
Yeah, the steak. Yes, yeah, for sure. But so your kids, labor, so kind of going down. Your kids going to produce. I mean, that's the thing, too. And we talked a little bit with your dad about this earlier, but do you see young people staying in the produce business?
I think there's a lot of opportunity. So, you know, through IFPA, they've got programs with universities at the Global Show and at this show where they're, you know, and we work with a lot of different universities, Cal Poly, again, I work a lot with Cal Poly,
yeah.
but we're bringing students to the trade shows to kind of mentor them and expose them to this industry, because I think once it kind of gets in your blood, it's hard to leave it, just because it's good for you. We're selling products that are good for you. We work with growers that care so much about their land, and then the people in this industry are so nice and generous with their time. And you know, there's competition out there, but we're also willing to help out anybody, you know, in this industry. And so I think the more we can engage with universities and expose young people to all the great things that happen within the produce industry. And I think too, there's an education, because it's not just sales and marketing, mm-hmm. and there's product innovation, there's packaging, you know, there's technology, there's just so much to the industry. So I think the more we can expose them to all the great things it has to offer, I think there's good opportunity. And I think the younger generations too, they're health conscious and they've been educated, I think, a little bit different in how, you know, what they eat and, you know, things that they like. And so I think the produce industry offers kind of a lot of things for them. So it's just, again, about educating them and bringing them along and exposing them to all we can.
Yeah, we had, what was the young lady's name that wrote Lunchers?
Oh, Cody Wright.
Lady from Texas A&M. She wrote a book, which highly recommend. In fact, your kid, check it out. It's called Launchers.
Okay.
And it's really about, the book deals with kids primarily coming out of college, but not just coming out of college, but launching their career, right? And realistically, it's a pretty good read. I mean, my kids are all grown and through that phase now. My son just graduated. He finished up at ASU, but in terms of how we as parents and trying to help them launch their career or whatever, so it's funny to read some of it, but then I could see myself in some of the stories, like, oh yeah, that was me. I was putting that pressure on or putting that down. So, you know, you really want to, you know, you're trying to help, but it's a fabulous book, and it's really good for kids trying to launch their career. At least I thought it was. So.
Yeah.
But in the industry, the whole point of that is we work with her. Actually, she brought on one of our students when we were at Viva Fresh, and we talked with her. But yeah, that whole movement of introducing kids to this business, I think, is spot on, because, God, it's, you know,
There's people in the industry that don't realize all the different paths
you can take.
Yeah, and all the different roles or types of, you know, allied industry positions or opportunities. It's I don't even think we fully understand it sometimes.
But it's like I say, the people, it is so close. I mean, in super small family type environment, right? I mean, everybody, once you're in and you're part of it, and like you say, it gets in your blood, you go to these shows and hang out and participate in different stuff, all of a sudden, you know, it's just like, this is the family that's part of everything you do, right? It's weird, you know, and like I say, several of my best friends are through this business. I mean, this guy here, I mean, it's through the produce industry that I got through. Yeah, well,
he's acquaintance.
Close. Yeah. But, yeah, so it's a good space for kids to go into. We need to do more to promote it, and that's great that you're doing that through, you know, you're through slow and...
Yeah.
And
as long as you tell them it's trade shows every week.
Well, I was going to say, I think you're using that method that your dad used. You're just taking them to the trade shows, bring them in, expose them that way. That way, you know, it's a good hook to get them in for sure.
Yeah.
So, no, it is. It's certainly been great, you know, getting a chance to talk to you and a little bit about your journey through this produce space. And I did not realize, you know, so are you back and forth, I guess, from the dairy farm? I mean, how often are you up here and
down
there? Yeah,
so I spend a lot of time in the Salinas. Our office is in Salinas.
Uh-huh.
And my sister, thankfully, the one that's the sustainability consultant for Measure to Improve, she lives right around the corner from the office. So her and her husband are nice enough to... They call me roomie, so I have my roomies. I come and stay here for like a week, and then I go home. And so, yeah, it works out.
Well,
back and forth.
Yeah, not so bad, especially this time of year, because Salinas is still, weather's a little better.
Well, and the beginning of the summer, I think in June, it just was gray here. The sun didn't come out for the whole week, and I'm like, and I go, I know that happens, but I'm like, this is kind of depressing. I want to go home.
Yeah.
And when I got home, you know, we'd had a mild summer so far, and then that weekend I got home, it was like 110. I'm like, okay, now I want to go back to Salinas, and
sure.
I'll take that cloudy day.
It's a dry heat.
Well, like I said, I'm in Tucson, and so, yeah, it was summer was slow getting here, then somebody flipped the switch, and all of a sudden, it's here.
On. Yeah, yep.
It's hot.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Like I say, you've joined a great organization, and you've done great work before, and you're going to be great for those guys, and so they're lucky to have you there, and
we really
appreciate you coming in and being part of this with us today, too.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.